What the hell was that?
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yeah. Are you there?
We gotta get rid of this kook. I got an idea.
Greatness at its finest.
Welcome to the Rodcast.
Wonder who that could be.
On the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260.
Come on, why you want to play a brother like that?
And hornfm.com.
Is there a problem back there?
Where the Longhorns play and Austin talks sports.
Welcome back to the Rodcast. Freak flat, feel good, thank you till you make it. Football Friday edition of the Rodcast. Please do hit us up on the Specs text line. It's been lit all day long. 512-337-3776. I'm at Rod Babies in the Twitterverse. My man Wags is at Not the Fake Wags. We'll get into Trevor Bauer's comments. I think his idea may be a damn good one. It is unorthodox, unconventional, and maybe exactly what is needed to accelerate a stale free agent period for Major League Baseball. At least that's been the case for the last 2 years. 100 free agents right now left unsigned in Major League Baseball, including the top two free agents, Bryce Harper and Manny Machado. I mean, that just wouldn't happen in any other sport. I mean, you got, you know, top five players available in free agency. Hell, the NFL, I don't know if it'd take, you know, 48 hours in before the top guys are signed. So it's interesting. It's an interesting conversation to have on both sides because it's about fiscal responsibility on one end with the owners. They believe the contracts has gotten out of control. Guys getting, you know, 8-10 year deals with, you know, all guaranteed money, blockbuster deals. Guys are being overpaid. And on the other end, the players are saying, you know, we deserve this money. We've earned this money. We earn our big paydays. And they're right, because it takes so long to get to that big contract in Major League Baseball. It takes a lot longer than the NFL. And that's why we talked about the Kyler Murray conversation, right? We talked about that decision that he's going to go with football because he can make more money if he plays 10 years playing football and he's a good player to a great player than in baseball being a good to a great player, because he'll sign two different contracts in football rather than the 1 to 2 that he's going to end up signing in Major League Baseball over that time period. So, real quick, before we dive into it, Trevor Bauer is the one who introduced this, because he's in arbitration, or at least he was in arbitration with Major League Baseball. During his arbitration, there's a couple of things that came out. One of them was his suggestion for Major League Baseball. His suggestion is to deal with the fact that, you know, 90 to 100 of their free agents have gone unsigned, including the top free agents. He says, I'll go year to year in my career. He says, why would you lock yourself in a situation that may not make you happy? I think that's highly inefficient. Everybody's afraid of risk. Everyone is scared of risk. He said, it's still unproven how clubs would feel about it. But he said, I think it solves a lot of problems in this day and age. He said, which is teams' increased reliance on aging, curves and projection of future performance. He said, baseball used to pay for what you've done, and baseball is now shifting to projecting that what you're going to do in the future. So he's basically saying, hey, man, I'd sign a one-year deal, one-year prove-it deals. He said, if players are willing to take more risk, and shorter term, they can really drive the value up. He says, I can't imagine someone not paying $40 million a year for Bryce Harper or Manny Machado or for any other superstar player just for a one-year prove-it deal. And I wonder if that's how you correct the market. I mean, think about it. And this has happened before. This happened in the NFL, actually. It happened with the NFL, with the safeties in the NFL. In the NFL recently, remember, the top safeties in the league last year in free agency, and it was some of the best in the NFL, Trey Boston, Eric Reed, Kenny Vaccaro, the Honey Badger. You know, all those safeties were signed one-year prove-it deals because the NFL, for some reason, had devalued the safety position. Now, I think there are a lot of things that played a role in that. They wanted more versatile safety play. That's where Derwin James and different players have kind of come into the fold. Jamal Adams with the Jets, different players who have a versatile skill set. You want more of those guys playing safety and not guys who have so much specificity. All right, at the safety position, you want guys who can move around, who can play inside linebacker for you, essentially play a nickel, play dime, cover the running back, cover a tight end. And also a lot of really good safeties have come out lately. I mean, in one draft 2 years ago, you had Jamal Adams, Buda Baker, Malik Hooker, Eddie Jackson, Justin Evans, Marcus Williams, Xavier Woods, Jabril Peppers. That was all in one draft. You had a ton of really good safeties come out. Either way, that devalued the safety position for guys like Kenny Vaccaro, for guys like Eric Reed, for guys like the Honey Badger, Trey Boston. So what all those guys did, they decided to sign one-year deals. Each one of them signed one-year deals. And they had career years. Trey Boston had a career year. The Honey Badger with the Texans had one of his best years ever. I think he tied his career high in tackles and quarterback hits and fumble recoveries. Kenny Vaccaro had a great year with the Titans. Eric Reed had such a good year on a one-year prove it deal. They signed him to a three-year, $22 million deal amidst all the controversy about the protest during the national anthem and all that kind of stuff. So there is actually some evidence, or at least there is some precedent, for players resetting the market on their position to back up what Trevor Bauer is saying. Hey, I'll just go 1 year prove it deals. Y'all don't want to pay me what I'm worth, and players believe what their worth is, what they've earned. I've earned a lot of money. All right, I've been one of the best players. I'm an all-star. That's what I've earned. But owners and the front office, they only want to pay players for the projected production, what they're going to do. So let's meet in the middle. The compromise is, let's meet in the middle. Pay me right now. Pay me my money right now. All right, that's just, you know, that's the 1 year prove it deals. You know what I mean? I eat what I kill, pretty much. And that's what all the safeties in the NFL did. And they're all going to get big deals. And now they all helped Earl Thomas, because Earl Thomas now is going to be on a free agent market. They now made him more valuable. If they had all sucked on their 1 year proven deals and they weren't good, then everybody like, well, see, we were right to devalue the safety position. It ain't worth a damn thing. But now Eric Reed's already resetting it. 3 years, $22 million. He's not even one of the top eight best safeties in the league. So imagine what Earl Thomas and those guys are going to get. So the players reset the market. What Trevor Bauer is saying is, I support it. I think it's right. And if you're the Houston Astros, you should be supporting it too. Imagine if you can go rent Bryce Harper for a year. Imagine if you could go rent a Manny Machado for a year. Where does he play? Who cares? We can become the NBA. Like Kevin Durant, we can rent a player for a year. Maybe we keep him, maybe we don't. That's a good decision, and that's a I'd rather have that awkward conversation later on down the line. That's a first world problem if we got it. But think about how sexy that would make baseball if their superstars started signing these 1 year prove it deals. You know what I mean? Hit it and quit it deals. Ooh. I'd be following baseball then, like, oh damn, they got Bryce Harper for the year. Ooh, but basically everybody becomes a mercenary. Pay me 1 year. He didn't quit it. A man who knows all about getting paid, world's strongest man, WWE legend, is joining us right now on the Vaccaro's Cafe and Cantina Hotline. Hey, Mark, what's going on, man? We appreciate you joining us as always.
Well, man, everything's going good for me, man. I'm going to Houston, to your favorite place, your hometown, on Sunday morning, getting ready for the pay-per-view, the Elimination Chamber. And my documentary launches on the WWE Network on after the pay-per-view at 11 o'clock.
Ooh.
I'm looking forward to that. And hopefully y'all will be tuning in.
Oh, ain't no doubt. No doubt. Hey, though, so did they follow you around? And how did they get all the footage and everything, too? Because I saw the trailer for it, and, man, they got old-school Mark Henry. They got Mark Henry from the high school days and football playing days and everything else.
Yeah, man, they did a lot of research and acquired a lot of footage from other sources, as well as the WWE has a big, unbelievable archive itself. And they were able to reach into that and pull out some good stuff and interview a bunch of different people. From what I understand, there's some people that I got interviewed that I don't even know yet. I didn't watch the they sent me the advanced copy, but I don't want to watch it yet until I'm going to watch it when everybody else watches.
Oh, okay. So you haven't seen it yet?
Oh, no, I didn't want to see it until everybody was watching.
Oh, man. Okay. So you're going to be there getting emotional then. You know you're going to get emotional watching it. It's your life story, right?
Yeah. I had while I've been wrestling.
Okay.
So there was a couple of Oprah Winfrey question moments that broke me to my core. I'm a sensitive guy. I'm a sensitive guy, Rod.
I know you are, man. I know. But it's a great accomplishment. I love the trailer. I got a friend that, because I don't have WWE, but I got a friend that does. So I'm gonna go watch it on Sunday, man. I'm gonna go to his house. We actually already discussed it. So I'm gonna go over there and go watch it on Sunday. And okay, so can you can you tell what's the event? You said the Elimination Chamber? That's new, right? That's some new stuff. That's some new age wrestling promotion, right? That's not.
Well, it's been around now probably about 6 or 7 years.
Okay, all right, that's new for me. Then.
I did three of them, and I wish that I hadn't done any of them.
Okay, so how does it work? What's the parameters of the Elimination Chamber?
Well, you have six guys or seven guys locked in pods that open up after a certain amount of time.
Ooh.
And you're all in there together. And it's a cage that you're locked inside of, and everything is steel, man. It is.
Wow.
People talk about, wow, man, it's got the cushion. They're jumping on the trampoline. Bull crap. Like, not this one. This is one of the more dangerous elements that's ever been created in wrestling. And it's gotten over, like, nobody's business, because so many people, they want to see if people can actually handle it. And
yeah,
I'm gonna tell you right now, it that's one of the things that ended my career.
Wow.
Like, I realized that, man, I'm too old to be getting thrown around and landed on hard stuff like this.
Yeah, man. For you to be thrown around, you're a big man. So that right there just shows you how physical it can get, man, for them to throw around Mark Henry.
You're physical, man. I hope I get to see you on tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm coming out for the gumbo cook-off, right?
For the gumbo cook-off, man.
Yeah, I'm coming through. Tell the folks out there, it's in Pflugerville, right?
It's in Pflugerville.
Yeah.
It's like it's at Wild Magnolia's restaurant, like 15... 424 FM 1825.
I'll tweet out what you sent me. I'll tweet out the little thing you sent me for folks who want to come on out.
Yeah, man, tweet it out. All the horn listeners, man, come on out and get the best gumbo you ever had in your life.
Okay, come on now. Whoa. My mama made gumbo, and a lot of folks in my family make gumbo. That's a bold statement there, Mark. You know, we swamp people now.
You know what you're going to do? You know what you're going to do tomorrow?
What am I going to do?
You're going to look at me different.
Yeah, you damn right. If you got some
you
bad gumbo,
I'm
gonna respect you less, Mark, if it's bad gumbo. Now, don't be pointing out.
I don't do that. I don't know what that. I don't even know what that is.
Okay. Well, can you give me a little? Let me know what is in the gumbo. Can you give me the main like the main component? What are the main stars of your gumbo? Like, who are the superstars of your gumbo? What's in it? We got shrimp in there? Do I got sausage? Oh, is Mark gone? Well, see? That's an omen right there. Start talking about gumbo, and then Mark hung up.
You're going to call right back.
You see? There you go. That's an omen right there. I called him out on his gumbo, and then, boom, he's gone.
Probably right. Couldn't believe you called him out on his gumbo and he dropped
the
phone.
That's true. I'm scared now. I wonder if he's coming up here. I hope he's – I wouldn't offend – Mark. I was joking. I hope I didn't offend Mark Henry.
You talk about driving the white Bronco. Let's go grab the keys and let's roll.
Yeah, I hope he didn't get offended. I was just joking, Mark, about the gumbo. I know your gumbo's good, man. I know you make good gumbo. You wouldn't even be promoting it if it wasn't good gumbo. But everybody thinks, you know, I've had people like, oh, my gumbo's good. It's like, oh, come on now. Your gumbo.
You like it soupy?
It's all right. The roux's got to be on point now, and the roux can't be too thick, and it can't be,
you know,
too watery. Yeah, the roux's got to be the the consistency of the roux. And someone like, what is a roux? Well, then we don't need to be talking. We're having
almost
a conversation.
Like a thick cream, right?
Yeah, it's like, well, you know, some people like it thick. I don't necessarily like it that thick. I like it, you know, it's tough to get. Like, you can't make, if you make it too thick, then it's not, then you got.
It can't be solidified.
Yeah, then you got like a gravy in there, and that ain't good. Yeah, like, you need the roux to be right. Yeah, the roux's got to be right, if you will. Yeah. All right, Mark Henry. All right, the gun will tell you. I hope Mark is not upset with me because the last note that we left on was me teasing him about his gumbo. Yeah. So I don't want that to be. Mark, if you're listening, I apologize for teasing you about your gumbo. I didn't mean that. All right, we lost Mark. But WWE legend Mark Henry, I will tweet out the gumbo challenge location too, and all that kind of stuff for you guys who want to go to taste some of Mark Henry's gumbo. Also, Mark Henry's WWE story will be airing on the WWE Network this Sunday. And I'll tweet that out too, actually. Shout out to my man Mark Henry. He's got a busy weekend coming up. So I'll tweet that out too. And for those who want to watch the Mark Henry story, I'm going to go to my friend's house on Sunday and go watch it. Oh, is Mark back? Oh, is he mad? Just tell him I didn't mean it. Tell him I was joking. Tell him Mark, I was joking about the gumbo, man. You have to take it personal like that and hang up in my face.
Oh, no, brother, no, never that. I didn't even realize. But I was on one bar.
Okay, I'm just joking. I'm just kidding.
I'm gonna blame it, but I'm gonna let you know I wasn't trying to run from the question. the biggest thing about gumbo is the roux.
Yeah, and see, that's what I said.
It's gonna take me about 40 minutes to start making this roux when I get home.
Mm-hmm.
And once the roux is right, which there have been times where I've made roux and I overcooked it, and I have to dump it and start all over
again. Yep.
So, like, if it ain't right, it ain't going to be served. And I plan on doing it right.
Amen. See, that's all, that everybody who knows how to cook gumbo says those three words. The roux is right. That's how you know when the roux is right.
I'm making two different kinds because I do realize that everybody don't eat seafood. So I'm going to make a sausage and chicken gumbo, and I'm going to make a seafood gumbo.
Oh, good for you. Because so you being I'm an equal doing, opportunist about your gumbo.
Yeah, man. I'm only going to make 3 gallons of the chicken and sausage, but I'm going to make 5 gallons of seafood.
I know my man Wags asked a very good question about the gumbo, Mark. Now, would the seafood also contain the chicken and the sausage, or is it all seafood?
Yes, it does. Yes,
okay. Yes. Okay. So yeah.
It's an added bonus.
Yeah. Well, of course.
Bonus, so you get the seafood gumbo.
Oh man. All right. See, now you got my mouth all ready for gumbo. See, now nothing else is going to do until I get some of that gumbo and get to taste the roux.
I can't wait to see you tomorrow, man. It's been a while. You got to catch up.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I'm looking forward to it, man. Hey, congratulations on the WWE story, man. That is fantastic, brother. It is, man. You're doing big things. You got the TV show working, and let the folks know they can catch you on Tuesday on BET, right?
Yes, the Family Business is in rotation. Reggie has been vanquished.
Oh, but, what? Whoa!
Yeah, had sad news, but he'll be back. He'll be back. That's all I'm gonna say. I'm back with a vengeance.
Oh, man. Hey, well, congrats on everything, man. And, hey, man, I'm looking forward to seeing you tomorrow, for sure.
All right, man. Tell the listeners I said I'll see them, too.
No doubt. I'll tweet that out for you. My
man. All right, man. Y'all be good.
You be good, bro. Be safe. WWE legend, World's Strongest Man, Mark Henry. He's, the fact that Mark Henry calls Austin home makes Austin a little bit cooler. I mean, honestly, it really does. So, Mark Henry, I will tweet out the location of the gumbo cook-off. He's bragging about his gumbo. Think about how good your gumbo's got to be for you to go on the radio and brag about your gumbo. It better be good. But I trust Mark Henry for some reason.
He called back for the gumbo.
He did. He called back to challenge me to answer my question about his gumbo. So, and my people are swamp people. My mama from Louisiana, so is my daddy. So we get serious about our gumbo now. We don't mess with it. We don't mess with our gumbo. It's a serious thing. When somebody said they cooking gumbo in my family, it's like a religious event. Like it's people gather around. They come around from from all kinds of towns.
Oh, you did you?
Yeah,
you
cooking that gumbo.
Yeah, right, we'll
uh-huh. Yeah, and you gotta cook gumbo. What I love about gumbo is you gotta cook like a big like witch's brew of it. Like,
well, it's got to be stew pot.
The pot is so damn big. Like, you can put a small, you can put like three small children in the pot. You know what I mean? Like, you could, yeah, you know what I mean? It really is. That's how big those pots are you cook in gumbo. I love that you cook it in such a big, huge amount. You know what I mean? Like, you can feed masses with it. It's a beautiful thing. All right, so I'll tweet that out. But Mark Henry also has his WWE story coming on Sunday on the WWE Network. So go check your local listings. You got a friend with WWE Network. If you don't got it, go check it out. It's going to be a great story. I got a little taste of it. And I'll tweet out the trailer, too, because my man Mark Henry has that on his Twitter account. All right, so we'll come back. We'll talk about resetting the Major League Baseball free agency market. I think Trevor Bauer's got a brilliant idea. I don't know if he got it from the NFL, but there we've seen examples of it in the NFL. And should the Dallas Cowboys go after Earl Thomas? Interesting conversation. He's a 30-year-old safety. But Kim Kardashian, Nicki Minaj, Serena Williams size, but he's a Hall of Fame 30-year-old safety. And there's a difference, and I'll explain that when we come back. Also, we'll talk some Texas football. I may have scared some Texas football fans yesterday. I did not mean to. I will try to ease the anxiety about the turnover on the defensive side of the ball. It may be historic, but I don't think it's a reason to be pessimistic. We'll get into that when we come back. All that and more right here on a Freak Flag Friday edition of the Ridecast right here on the Horn 104.9 and AM 1260. All right, welcome back to the Rodcast. You can always hit us up on the Specs text line, 512-337-3776. Coming up, folks, we'll have the game coming up for the UT versus Florida Atlantic pregame for the softball game. Actually, I take that back. UT versus LSU pregame, 2:45 pitch for the softball. First pitch at 3 p.m. That's on 105.3 The Bat. All right, so there you go. That's coming up at 2:45. First pitch is at 3 p.m. on The Bat. Softball there in Pete Clearwater Elite Invitational. And you can hear that on 105.3 The Bat. All right. A lot of things we got to get into. I want to thank my man Mark Henry for calling in. Always a good thing. Also, I want to thank Leslie, who just came and dropped off some Chick-fil-A nuggets. This is what I'm talking about, people. Spreading joy, all right, and trying to, you know, uplift other people. She just came in and she's like, you want some Chick-fil-A? And I was like, oh. I was like, yeah. I mean,
just sending us off into the weekend.
Just dropped off some nuggets and then walked out of here. It's a beautiful thing. I'm going to reward her tenfold for dropping off these nuggets. It brightened up my day. All right, so a beautiful thing. I want to thank her too because now I'm in a good mood. Now I'm looking forward to nuggets after the meal. Mark Henry's got me looking forward to gumbo tomorrow. I'm gonna have a good weekend. Valentine's Day was yesterday, and it was a damn good Valentine's Day. I hope it was the same for you. All right, boom. Friday got nuggets after the show. Gumbo tomorrow. Man, shaping up to be a damn fine weekend. All right, let's talk about Earl Thomas real quick. Okay, so the Cowboys are considered to be the team of choice for Earl Thomas, for him. Like, that's where he would like to go. But he also wants to be one of the highest paid safeties in the NFL. And we don't know if the Cowboys can swing that.
Coming off a bad injury, too.
Coming off a really bad injury. That's a great point, too. Earl coming off a really bad injury. And he's going to be He's a 30-year-old safety. And like I said, he's a 30-year-old Hall of Fame safety, but he's still a 30-year-old safety. And the Cowboys got to resign DeMarcus Lawrence. Dak Prescott's got a big contract coming up. Zeke's going to want to get paid at 1.2. I mean, Amari Cooper is going to need an extension. I mean, they got a lot of – I think Cole Beasley is a guy they should try to prioritize and try to keep. You know, they got a lot of the guys they got to re-sign and bring back. And Earl Thomas would be considered a luxury. But I think they should try. And we just talked about the one-year prove-it deals. And I almost think the Cowboys should try their best to convince Earl Thomas to do a one-year prove-it deal. He won't. I mean, he probably won't. But if they can arrange a short-term deal – to front load and give him a lot of money and, you know, try to get the next 2 years out of Earl Thomas. Because I still think after the injury, I still think he could end up being a top 5 to 10 safety in the league. I mean, he was the best safety in the league when he got hurt this year. Like, remember he beat the Dallas Cowboys single-handedly. Like, literally, by himself, he beat the Dallas Cowboys. It seemed that way anyway. So I do believe that you can still get – and if you are in the Cowboys and you are thinking about, you know, how are we going to get to a Super Bowl? What are two things that are going to get the Cowboys to a Super Bowl? And if they're going to get there, that's going to help them win it. Number one, it's Dak Prescott. And not only Dak's development, but also Dak's status, because he's a starting quarterback on a rookie contract. Still got 1 year of that. And you could franchise him for another year, but that's an advantage for the Cowboys in terms of building the roster and paying other guys. So you got to maximize that advantage, and you only have it really for one more year. That's also incentive to try to go all in on a guy like Earl Thomas. Number two, the defense of the Cowboys has turned out, and nobody expected it. I knew it was going to be good. I knew it was going to be great. That's a top five defense. And nobody expected it to be a top five defense. And that's what a lot of players, not really, in my opinion, not necessarily reaching their ultimate achievement level or their ultimate level of expectation, because Byron Jones came out of nowhere and had a stellar year. Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch turned out to be two of the best young linebackers in the league. You know what I mean? So there are a lot of the guys that I think surprised for the Cowboys, and they achieved a lot earlier than expected. I think you add a guy like Earl Thomas to the mix of that, with a defense like that, and you could have potentially the best defense in the league. Like, it's got that kind of potential based on what you saw last year. So that would be the reason as to why you would take a risk. And it's a gamble to go after Earl Thomas because, like I said, he's old. But this is why you may be, if you're the Cowboys, you may be interested. Only because he's a 30-year-old Hall of Fame safety. I went and tracked all the Hall of Fame safeties, and that includes Ed Reed, who's in this latest 2019 class. And I went to look at their achievements after the age of 30. So there have been 14 Pro Football Hall of Fame DBs who were listed at safety or played safety at one point, played safety and corner, moved around, whatever. Remember, Rod Woodson goes from corner to safety. So 14 guys total. And of those 14, I would say 8 of them were voted to at least 4 Pro Bowls at 30 years or older. 11 of the 14 were first-team All-Pro at least once at 30 years or older. 7 of the 14, half of them, were first-team All-Pros at least twice at 30 years or older. 12 of the 14 made at least 3 Pro Bowls at 30 years or older. And that's the reason that they moved Rod Woodson and Charles Woodson and Aeneas Williams and Mel Renfrow and Ronnie Lott to safety anyways, because aging corners make really good safeties because they can cover, and the game for them, by the time they get that old, their football IQ is through the roof. And they may not be able to run a 4-3 anymore, but he knows where that play is going when that get that play action drag flag route combo. He knows, oh, I've seen this 355 times. I know exactly where this quarterback is looking in his progression read. So for a guy like Earl Thomas who's got that naturally, he may not, because of the injury, be who he was, you know, 2 or 3 years ago. But last year, best safety in the league. And even if you take the risk and roll the dice on him for the next 2 years, and yep, you got to pay him for it because he probably won't sign that 1 year prove it deal. History shows you with Hall of Fame safeties, you know, they age really, really well. They just do. They always, like, all of them do. There out of the 14 Hall of Fame safeties, 2 of them retired before the age of 30. So 2 of them retired before the age of 30, before they even got to 30. And 12 of the 14 made at least 3 Pro Bowls at 30 years or older. Because 2 of them retired. I mean, that's, you get my point. Like, they all age well. Like, there isn't one Hall of Fame safety, and we all agree Earl Thomas is a Hall of Fame safety, that hasn't aged really, really well. Now, is he worth, I don't know, whatever he's asking, $10 million, $12 million, that's a different discussion. You do have Chris Richard there, who was one of the architects of that Legion of Boom defense, who was able to maximize Earl Thomas's X-Man-like range, and he's with the Cowboys now calling plays. It is interesting. If I'm the Cowboys, I'm thinking about going all in, because I think if you're going to win the Super Bowl, if you're the Cowboys, you're going to do it in the next 2 years. After that, it's going to be real tough to do when you got to pay Dak, Zeke, DeMarcus Lawrence, Amari Cooper, and you got to pay all those guys. It's going to be – it gets harder. Ask the Seahawks, ask anybody who hasn't had that other than the Patriots who tries to operate without that starting quarterback on their rookie contract. Really tough to do. Okay, let's talk about the Justin Fields story, because the NCAA, they're changing their tune about the transfer market, the transfer portal, and the immediate eligibility waiver, the hardship waiver. So recently, Justin Fields gets granted approval for the hardship waiver. He's got his attorney, Thomas Mars, recently dropped a bombshell, because we all thought that Justin Fields, his immediate eligibility transfer was based on the race card. Played the race card, right? Some baseball player there called him the N-word, obviously, and that is something that is, you know, that everybody agrees is inappropriate. That shouldn't ever happen. So I think they dismissed the baseball player. But we all thought that may have been the reason given by Justin Fields, his attorney Thomas Morris, as to why he needed to be granted immediate eligibility upon transferring from Georgia to Ohio State. Well, that's not necessarily the case. His lawyer says irrefutable documentation that has nothing to do with racism was presented to the NCAA in support of Ohio State's request that Justin Fields be given a waiver. He said that information wasn't critical of and didn't reflect poorly on the Georgia culture, the Georgia administration, or the staff. And it is interesting because Justin Fields' sister still plays sports there at Georgia, so he's obviously not saying he feels like his safety is threatened or the environment is hostile. It's going to be hard to prove that when your sister is still there. And now the lawyer, Thomas Morris, who also represented Shea Patterson in getting his waiver, this guy's like the guy now to go to get that immediate eligibility. He is saying, we didn't use the race card. We didn't play the race card. Nope. We provided irrefutable evidence of hardship that had nothing to do with race. So let's assume that he's telling the truth. He's a lawyer. So, let's assume he's telling us the truth. The NCAA, maybe in response to that, recently announced that they are going to overhaul this, they're going to have a holistic review of the guidelines used when reviewing waiver requests from transfer athletes. It was recently reported by ESPN that 79% of FBS players who applied for the hardship waiver were approved. They had another number most recently, I believe, that said during this academic year, 19 of the 29 Division I football players who requested immediate eligibility were approved. That's around 65%, I believe, just doing off the top of my head, which I shouldn't do on the air because I'm not good at math. But so why the NCAA now is going to review it? Remember I told you the NCAA, they had been giving out a lot, where they had been approving a ton of these waivers. My belief was they didn't want to have the conversation about, you know, Justin Fields' racial discrimination potentially, or the N-word, or they didn't want to have the conversation about coaches prematurely leaving or being dishonest in recruiting players. That's the Cliff Kingsbury conversation, or even whatever Tate Martell is going to bring to the table. But now this changes the narrative. If they didn't use race and they still got the waiver approved, then maybe the NCAA is a lot more lenient than we thought. We thought the reason Justin Fields got the waiver, of course, he played the race card. They call him the N-word. Nobody wants to touch that. But if they didn't play the race card, then maybe the NCAA they are the ones who are pushing college football free agency. And I know that would sound crazy, and to me it does too, but the stats don't lie. Like 65 to 80% of these guys, and the number says 79% of them, are getting the immediate eligibility waiver approved, and NCAA doesn't have to do that. So there's something amiss. Like, we're missing something. Something's going on, and I think either NCAA knows we're on to them or we're about to figure it out. That's why they're going to have a holistic review of their guidelines. I think they don't like to be, we know this, the history of the NCAA doesn't want to look foolish in public. We know that when Shabazz Napier says he went to bed hungry some nights as a student athlete before the national championship game for UConn, and then they get unlimited snacks within, I don't know, 2 or 3 months of him making that statement because it becomes a national story and the NCAA looks bad. So the NCAA doesn't like to look bad. There are a lot of instances of that. So maybe this is they're starting to have a look bad because of all these immediate eligibility waivers being granted, and now they want to rethink everything and kind of maybe even overhaul it. But it's going to affect Brew McCoy. And I still think Brew McCoy will get the waiver. I do. I think he'll get it. I think the NCAA is trying to avoid these awkward conversations about the waiver and about the hardships. They opened up that Pandora's box. Now they just need to be able to put a PR spin on it. And that's what they're really bad at doing. Because right now they look like they're advocating for college football free agency. When I think they're agreeing that the system needs to change, and instead of overhauling the entire system, which we agree needs to happen, they want to piecemeal it, which is not going to work. All right, we'll come back. We'll get into that in a little bit more. Also, we'll talk some NBA news, notes, and nuggets. All that and more right here on the Rodcast. This is The Horn, 104.9 and AM 1260. All right, welcome back to the Rodcast. One piece of news that we didn't get to, and I don't know if anybody really cares about it, but the New Orleans Pelicans fired Dell Demps, their GM. And you knew that was going to happen, Chad here for some crosstalk. You knew it was going to happen, Chad, when, and I'll say this about the NBA, the number one job of NBA front office executives and head coaches is not necessarily to win games. That's second. Your number one job, number one priority, is like happy wife, happy life. Whatever superstar you happen to have on your team, make sure they're happy.
Yes.
Because if not, you're on your way out. You're as good as gone.
In a league where the players have become this powerful, yes. It's one of the first things you've got to consider.
No, remember the Toronto Raptors last year? I forget the coach's name now. Dwayne Casey.
Yeah.
Remember, and they had the best Raptors team they had ever had in the history of the Raptors.
Right.
They benched DeMar DeRozan. In the playoffs, he benched him for like deep in the fourth quarter and third quarter or something. And then after the game, he admitted, yeah, I benched him. I didn't like the way he was playing. I want to say within less than a week, he was out. He was done.
After getting coach of the year.
At the end, coach of the year. It's like, nah, man, our superstars don't like you. You're done. And I think that's the case for everybody around the league. That's your wife. I've seen it happen in Houston with Kevin McHale. It doesn't matter. You can have success. If your stars don't like you, you are out. And the stars, Anthony Davis obviously was unhappy. He's got to pay the price for that.
Yeah,
that's your one job.
Yeah, you got to build a really, really, really strong organization to be able to withstand stuff like that or not have to worry about it. And the New Orleans Pelicans are not that. I mean,
that's a great point.
The coach last night after the game calling it a dumpster fire. He was upset. They asked him Anthony Davis questions. Eventually, he said, hey, I got to talk about the guys that are on our team. They got a nice win last night.
Yeah.
They got a nice win last night against Oklahoma City, and he still was having to answer Anthony Davis stuff. Because Davis got hurt in the game and left the building. And they had to ask him, could you believe he left the building? He's like, man, I don't know if that's what happened. And they were reporting that he and his agent just literally walked out.
Yeah, we're done. Well, because I don't think the Pelicans wanted to play him. The NBA is putting pressure on the Pelicans to play him, or they'll fine him. They can't just sit him until they trade him.
Right, because they would have considered it a healthy rest.
Exactly.
Which they'll fine you for now. But now he's hurt. He's got a shoulder contusion.
And it's like, you should just let me sit him. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, so I agree. It's a lot of 50 shades of gray going on there. Like, it's hard to pick a side because I understand what the Pelicans are doing, and I understand the NBA's stance, and I understand Anthony Davis' stance.
Just a hunk of drama and an eyebrow razor, no doubt.
No question about it. Okay, one of the stories that I was really intrigued by today.
Yep.
I saw that the AAF reached out to Colin Kaepernick, and we brought that up. Kaepernick. Yeah. And now it was reported by numerous sites. I think ESPN's on it. Yahoo Sports was, I think, the first on it. That that Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid have settled there or either withdrew their collusion complaint.
Right. The grievances are going to be gone. The lawsuits are not going to be
there. So they haven't really specified
anymore.
Whether it's withdrawn or whether they just settled it.
But the way I read it was settled their grievances with the league.
Yeah.
In some way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm sure the details will come out. Do you believe that means that, because I don't think Colin Kaepernick still ever plays in the league again. Do you think that means he plays in the league again? Eric Reid, who also was a part of that lawsuit, just signed a three-year, $22 million deal.
Exactly. That's the baffling thing to me is if one of those guys gets to play, somebody's got to walk me through why the other one can't play. We all agree his talent is at least one of 96, maybe one of 64.
Third-string quarterback for half the teams in the league.
Right. Possibly one of 64 and maybe one of 32, depending on what team you're talking about. So, you know, I bet if Eric Reid was the first guy to kneel with Colin Kaepernick, did what he did. It evolved from there.
Yeah.
It is not the same thing as it was day one. And on day one, he said he never meant it as an insult to the military. So if everybody could get on board with that and move forward, is it that toxic? Like, would fans boo and walk out? And is Colin Kaepernick?
That's the question.
Yeah, is he persona non grata in a way that Eric Reid is not? What is the difference?
Yeah, he is. He's the face of the movement.
Does the Nike deal make it different? Does that commercial make it different? Why is it so different?
Because
Eric Reid essentially thinks, is it the position?
He's a quarterback, yeah.
Because he's got to be a leader on your team.
He's a quarterback, and he's the one that started the movement. So, yeah, it's him.
Eric Reid, as I'm reading through it today, Eric Reid knelt for the national anthem.
Yeah.
All last year.
Nobody cares about it. Well, the NFL's policy, you know, is no policy.
Right.
They basically decided, let's just stop making it an issue and it won't be an issue. And once the president had bigger fish to fry.
And it kind of worked.
Which I think we all agree the president has bigger. Once the president stopped attacking him for it, nobody cared anymore.
Yeah.
The president basically used it because it was a great political device to get him a lot of, you know, support from his base. And it was a brilliant strategy by him. But now he doesn't need it, so he doesn't care. He might bring it up again for re-election, but he doesn't care about it now.
Yeah, I kind of like the idea. Unless you are yelling your own anthem or slapping another human being or trying to touch another human being, I don't care what you do during the anthem.
Yeah, nobody cares right now. And the ratings are up, and everybody loves football again.
Yeah.
So you're right. Are you ready to have that awkward conversation now, or do you say, I never want to have that conversation?
That's weird. My answer to you ultimately is, I hope he gets a chance. I don't feel like he will, but boy, I hope he does.
Yeah, it's a good question. All right, Chad and Kevin coming up next. I want to thank my man Wax for doing a great job. Remember, the revolution will not be televised. We're talking about it right here on the broadcast. Everybody have a great weekend. Be kind to one another. And if a 30 to 40 pound animal tries to rip you to shreds, you killed that mother. Love you guys. Peace.